This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Good afternoon, and today we are looking at prayer. Last month we looked at prayer too, and we saw how we could make prayer using scriptural praying, watching and intercession. And today we are looking at petition, thanksgiving and singing. We are taking this today from The Hour That Changes the World by Dick Eastman. Petition, though, is different from intercession, as petition is asking God for personal things, to seek an unselfish spirit or material gift is not unscriptural. The Bible tells us about Jabez in the Old Testament. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that you would keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me." And God granted his request. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. Nothing more is mentioned about Jabez in Scripture except that he sought a personal blessing of God, and it was granted to him. God not only granted his request, but he chose to use Jabez as an eternal example of how he longs to answer our sincere petitions. It is well said that asking is the rule of the kingdom. The author of this phrase, Charles Spurgeon, adds, "It is a rule that will never be altered in anyone's case." Now, if the royal and divine Son of God cannot be exempted from the rule of asking that he may have, you and I cannot expect to have the rule relaxed in our favour. God will bless Elijah and send rain on Israel, but Elijah must pray for it. If the chosen nation is to prosper, Samuel must plead for it. If the Jews are to be delivered, Daniel must intercede for it, and God will bless Paul. The nations shall be converted through him, but Paul must pray. And pray he did without ceasing. His epistles show that he expected nothing except by asking for it. And our Christian experience is a personal experience, and we must not hesitate to declare, just as Jabez did, "Bless me indeed." And when Jesus faced the blind man, he asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" This is found in Mark chapter 10, verse 51. And certainly our God knew the man's infirmity, but he wanted him to declare it. And he was blind, and Jesus healed him. And prayer is a language of a man burdened with a sense of need. In a practical sense, petition is not prayer of a man opening heaven's doors to release God's power. Rather, it is a man opening his heart's door to receive power already appropriated by God. Expressed helplessness is the key to opening that door, thus giving access to our need. We must define the need. In Job 23, verses 3 to 4, it says, "We go before God as an attorney with a carefully prepared argument upon which to base our case. We have a sincere, unselfish basis for our requests. Our motives are pure and our arguments well ordered." Spurgeon said, "The best prayers I heard in our prayer meetings have been those which have been full of argument." We are not, of course, trying to twist God's arm in order to obtain a particular blessing, but God desires that we present these arguments because we will learn the principles of prayer only by the actual practice of prayer. And this may also be the reason God sometimes delays an answer to our prayers. He longs to answer our petitions, but he also desires to teach us much more about matters of true spiritual warfare. This prepares us for the really serious battles that lie ahead. Keys to petition. Well, a petition should be specific. Prayer must never be so vague that within minutes of our praying we have forgotten what we prayed for. Let your prayer be so definite that you may say as you leave the prayer closet, I know that what I have asked the Father, and I expect an answer. To forget our purpose for praying is a sure indication of our absence of desire. The greater the intensity of our desire for a blessing, the greater the difficulty to blot the desire from our mind. Our petition should be complete. Each petition should be carefully thought through. A petition should be complete. In other words, don't just say, help the missionaries today. Avoid shallow repetitions. Make sure that your petitions don't become skyward sermons. Petitions should be sincere. We should ask, seek, and knock. The offering of a petition should be complete enough to build faith, but simple in its expression. Eloquence is not necessary for effective prayer. The next subject that we're looking at in regard to prayer today is thanksgiving. And although closely related to praise, thanksgiving itself is an important element that deserves careful attention during prayer. Basically, thanksgiving is the act of expressing specific gratitude to God for blessings he has bestowed upon us. And these expressions may be mental or vocal. Thanksgiving differs from praise in that praise focuses on who God is, whereas thanksgiving focuses on what God has specifically done for us. As one writer explains, when we give thanks, we give God the glory for what he has done for us. And when we worship or give praise, we give God glory for what he is in himself. The attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving helps us focus on God's faithfulness. Thanksgiving may be sprinkled throughout our praying, Paul told the Colossians. Devote yourself to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Confession of blessings. Thanksgiving might well be labelled a confession of blessing. It is during this aspect of prayer that we recognise all of life's blessings and confess them before God. This is essential to prayer because it draws the heart to God, keeping it entirely centred on him. Like praise, thanksgiving takes a believer's attention from self and places it where it must be centred to make prayer effective. In looking at the life of Christ, it is evident that he had a spirit of thanksgiving. John recalls, when they took away the stone from where the place where the dead was laid, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. On another occasion, after sharing an important teaching with his disciples, Jesus paused to pray, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. If this was so important to our Saviour, shouldn't we consider thanksgiving as an essential part of our praying? Yes, thank offerings. A wandering mind normally hinders effective prayer, but if properly channeled, it actually can prove helpful during your time of thanksgiving. allow your mind to wander through some of the previous day's activities. And this will lead you to many points of concentration for specific thanksgiving. Also, become aware of all that exists around you. What do you see worthy of thanksgiving? In the same sense that we need to watch in prayer or become alert to certain needs, we need to watch in thanksgiving. We need to become aware of these specific things, for instance, Jesus has done for you. Then verbalize these blessings. Also, we need to first confess spiritual blessings. What specific spiritual blessing has God given you recently? Perhaps he has bestowed a special blessing during this very devotional hour that is worthy of a word of appreciation. Take time during prayer to offer these blessings back to God in the form of vocal thanksgiving. And we need to be able to confess material blessings as well as physical blessings. And of course, we need to confess eternal blessings. We need to thank the Lord for blessings in the past. And for instance, do you recall ever thanking God specifically for the person who first told you about Jesus? Have you thanked God for your first Bible or for the Sunday school teachers who encouraged you in your early years of faith? Giving thanks always for all things unto God. To the Thessalonians, Paul says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And John Wesley wrote in his journal that it was because of this attitude that he was able to thank God that he broke only his arm in an accident and not his head. In each situation of life, no matter the difficulty it presents, focus for thanksgiving can be discovered. Even the death of a loved one reminds us of the knowledge of eternal life. Something for which we are truly thankful. So let us carefully seek to develop the ministry of expressing appreciation to God during prayer. For every specific prayer of petition may be shared two or three specific expressions of thanksgiving. God grant that we never cease to be grateful for his bountiful provisions. Lord, teach me to give thanks. The third thing today that we will be looking at is singing. Words of adoration combined with a melody from the heart lead to praise in its most beautiful form. Martin Luther expressed it thus: "The gift of language combined with the gift of song was given to man that he should proclaim the word of God through music." And here we discover one of the most neglected aspects of personal worship: singing along alone in God's presence. The psalmist enjoyed, "Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing." Psalm 100, verse 2. And while many believers freely participate in congregational singing, few have discovered the joy of singing songs unto the Lord during their prayer time. The author was amazed to discover that only a few books on prayer from a collection exceeding 150 even mention singing, and then only in passing. Yet no fewer than 41 of the Psalms specifically refer to singing praises unto the Lord. The godly missionary Mary Slosser, who worked with great diligence among the Chinese, spoke of the importance of music in her prayer life. She explained, "I sing the doxology and dismiss the devil. Concerning the power of song, Amy Carmichael adds, I believe truly that Satan cannot endure it and so slips out of the room more or less. When there is a true song, praise rises more easily, more spontaneously, after one has let those wings, words and music carry one out of oneself into the upper air. What should we sing during prayer? On two different occasions, Paul spoke of making melody in our hearts unto the Lord with spiritual songs. Ephesians 5 verse 19 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 16. And when Paul spoke of a spiritual song, he was speaking of a song that originated in the believer's heart. The word spiritual, as used in these verses, means inspired by the Spirit. And Paul could not have been referring to the use of hymn books in public or private worship, since hymn books were centuries away from publication when he wrote these words. Undoubtedly, hand-copied psalms were extremely scarce. We recall also that Paul and Silas sang praises unto God while they were in prison. Acts 16:25, and surely there were no hymn books present in this damp cell. Their songs of praise were most certainly based on melodies created in their hearts. To these melodies were added personal words of praise. The next heading is the weapon of song. Singing unto the Lord during prayer is more than merely a fresh and exciting way to minister unto the Lord. It is actually a weapon of warfare that adds immense power to our praying. Note an Old Testament passage that supports this claim. In 2 Corinthians 20, we read that Moab and Ammon and the inhabitants of Mount Seir conspired to wage war on King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Upon hearing of the conspiracy, Jehoshaphat called the people of Judah to repentance, and from across the nation they gathered for a time of prayer and fasting. And through Gaziel the prophet, God promised Jehoshaphat that Judea would see victory in battle. Full details of this battle are described in verses 20 to 22. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so you will be established. Believe his prophets, so you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with his people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the Lord of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And then they began to sing and to praise the Lord. And the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Later, the narrative relates that Judah's troops arrived at the front lines of battle only to discover the enemy was already defeated. God may have sent angelic hosts to fight the battle, since there is no evidence of other troops helping Judah to win that campaign. So, key to this account are the words of verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments, and the victory began and ended with musical worship. So great was the blessing of victory that Scripture declares, and when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches and precious jewels, more than they could carry away." When the campaign was fully concluded, Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah named the valley Berasha, which means blessing. Indeed, the ministry of song when properly used in the devotional habit, is a weapon that always leads to blessing. And songs of praise, first sing praises unto the Lord. Such was the worship of Paul and Silas in jail. The psalmist declared, "Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto his name, for it is pleasant." In Psalm 135, verse 3, during this singing phase of prayer, you may wish to sing praises to God instead of speaking them. And as suggested, allow the melody to flow from your heart. Do not be concerned if your voice seems somewhat unpleasant. Yes, so songs of power and mercy. Second, sing of God's power and mercy. "But I will sing of your power," declares the psalmist. "Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For you has been my defence and refuge in the day of my trouble." Note, the psalmist not only speaks of singing, but of singing aloud. And the thought is that our song is not to be confined only to the heart. It is to be a vocal praising of God with melody. To sing of God's power is to put into song all that God has accomplished with his power. To sing of his mercy is to sing of his faithfulness and justice. It is sing the attributes of his divine nature. Indeed, all that God is can become a theme for a personal spiritual song. Yes, other things that we may do, not only as songs of thanksgiving, but songs to God's name, songs of God's word, and songs from your heart. And you can also sing about the nations. For instance, only the imagination can limit our singing new songs unto the Lord. Yes, a prayer warrior also goes on to say that they used a map of the world during their time of singing. For more than 2 hours, they sang through a listing of the more than 200 countries on the map before them. Their song was simple. They sang of God's glory flowing into each nation, and the melody was created new in their hearts. And they explained this was one of the most beautiful times of worship that they remember. So we've seen today petition, thanksgiving, and singing. So if you're not doing these things already in your prayer time, you can add these to your list and put the things which come across your path under the right headings. May the Lord bless you this coming month. This is Murray Yates signing off. Thank you.